I'll greet each of you in the worthy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Invite your attention to John chapter 13 this morning. Now, often when we stand up to preach, we greet you in the name of Jesus, the Master and Lord. But this morning, we see Jesus as the servant. Has Jesus served you? Often we focus on our doing service to him by serving other people. But I'd also like to challenge us this morning with the idea, have you allowed Jesus to serve you? John chapter 13, I'll be looking at the first 30 verses. The first 17 verses are a passage that we hear typically twice a year, just before the foot washing service. The last portion, 18 through 30, not as frequently. I invite you to stand for the reading of the scripture if you're able to. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. You may be seated. In the first portion of this scripture, we have this familiar account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And Jesus is fully aware that his time was at hand for his crucifixion when he would die. I think Jesus longs for this personal time with his disciples, one last time of teaching, imparting information to them. In the Luke account, it says, With desire, I have desired to eat this meal with you. Or it's the, With earnest and fervent desire, I want to do this. I've got lessons to teach you yet. And with those lessons, he has some objects to help convey the lessons that he wants to teach. We have the bread and the cup and the foot washing service. Jesus loved his own, and he wanted to demonstrate it even to Judas, the one he knew was going to just shortly betray him. Jesus loved each of them to the end. Now, the devil, Satan, had put it into the heart of Judas to betray our Lord. And as we look at some of the other Gospels, the arrangement had been made prior to this evening meal. And Judas had conversed with the chief priest and agreed for 30 pieces of silver he would betray Jesus into their hands. And so now he was looking for the opportunity. When's the right time to do it? And I'm not sure before this meal was taking place that Judas knew that tonight would be the night. I'm not sure that he was fully aware of the time frame. I think verse 3 is pretty key in this passage here, is the full knowledge that Jesus had of what was going to happen, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. He was come from God, and he went to God. I'm not sure what the all things are, how you would describe that. Earlier in John chapter 5, it talks about the Father has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. And so I think we could say the administration of the kingdom of God is completely in the hands of Jesus here, how it is to be administered and lived out. The course and destination of all mankind is being held in his hands here. And I think it's also saying, I am recognizing I am the rightful son, I am the rightful heir to everything that is the Father's. It all is in my hands here. And then there's also the last part, I think the security that Jesus had in knowing who he was. I came from God, I'm going back to God. I'm secure in my relationship with the Father, and that security allows me to stoop down and start washing the disciples' feet. Jesus had come to do the mission of the Father, and he was here to complete it. And so, with that knowledge, he gets up from supper, takes off his outer garments. In our terms, we could say he took off his coat, rolled up his sleeves, and equipped himself to do what needed to be done. Took a towel, he girded himself, gets a bowl of water, puts water into it, and starts washing the disciples' feet. We don't have the order of which disciple was first. Where does Peter come in that lineup? We don't know that. But we see that as sort of a central visual here in the sequence of washing the disciples' feet when he comes to Peter. And Peter starts, he just recognizes this is so not right that Jesus washes his feet. Earlier, he has confessed Jesus as being the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to allow Jesus, his master now, to take this role of a servant, a menial task of washing my feet. I can't do it. But Jesus continues on, and there's this conversation. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. And so Peter responds, well, first of all, Jesus just says, what I'm doing you really don't understand now. But you'll understand later. And Peter just responds, never, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. But Jesus says, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, or if you don't allow me to serve you in this way, you really have no part with me. And so Peter, I'm not sure what all his motive was, but then he flips sort of to the other side. Well, then wash my head and my hands as well. I want to be thoroughly yours. I'm not sure was that his motive. But Peter comes back, or Jesus comes back sort of with the reply, Peter, let me be in charge of this situation. Stop needing to make the calls. Allow me to do this for you. If I wash your feet, if I serve you in that way, that's all that I'm asking, and you'll be clean, completely clean. And so Peter, evidently he consented to it, and Jesus continues to wash all of the disciples' feet. And when he's finished, he puts on his outer garments again, and then he sits down. And then he starts talking to them. I think he's telling them, I have given you the supreme example of a concept that I have been trying to teach you for some time already. And that's the idea of servant leadership. You haven't gotten it always. But here is an example that I'm giving you. You call me Lord. You call me Master, Teacher. You have called me the Christ. Rightly so, that's who I am. He's not denying that. But if I have humbled myself and done this act of service for you, you should also be able to do that for each other. We have a responsibility to do it. And so that's why we go through that service twice a year. But I say, if our serving each other stops at literally washing each other's feet twice a year, then we're not really getting the point. Service is something that should become a part of who we are in Christ. We should live a life of service. Jesus then goes on, and he continues the conversation and just clearly reveals who the betrayer is to be in verses 18 and following. And Jesus tells them, I'm telling you that you'll betray me, so that when this event takes place of my betrayal, you'll be able to look back and realize that that's true. This must be the Christ because it's a fulfillment of the prophecy. And at this point, Jesus did not say who the man was. But then in verse 20, it seems at first glance to be a verse that is sort of out of context when Jesus says, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Matthew Henry, help me with this a bit. The idea is The message that Judas had given when he was sent out by Christ was still valid, even if he will turn into a traitor. Have you ever heard of situations where there was a church leader who had moral failure or gave up his faith in Christ and it just sort of left everyone in shock and disillusioned? I've heard of those situations. And I think one part that Christ may be saying here is, even if Judas betrays me and is a traitor, that does not nullify the message of truth that he has shared previously. Because those that receive the message were in fact receiving me, and those that receive me as their Messiah are recognizing God and receiving him as well. And so I think there's a warning here. While we want to have confidence in our leaders, remember, leaders are fallible. And ultimately, our security is in Jesus Christ, is in God. And his truths are absolute. They're not fallible. And then Jesus goes on, and he is troubled in spirit and just says plainly, one of you is going to betray me. And the disciples still are not sure who he's talking about. And Peter sort of, hey, John, why don't you ask? Who is it? Who's going to betray him? And so John asks, Lord, who is it? And I'm assuming this is in a quiet, maybe in a whispered conversation, because it sounds like some of the disciples are oblivious to what is said in the conversation. But Jesus just answers, it's the one who I'm going to dip this bread in some sauce or soup, and the one I give it to, that is the one who will betray me. Did anyone hear it besides John? I'm not sure. And I don't know if Judas Iscariot was aware of what this act was doing. Now, this dipping of the bread and giving it to a person is a sign of friendship, of love. And isn't it interesting that Judas later uses a sign of friendship and love to betray Jesus? And so as Judas accepted this piece of bread and he ate it, says that Satan entered into him. I think we would all agree that Satan was having an influence on Judas prior to this, as he was making arrangements to looking for opportunities to betray our Lord. But at this point, it seems that Satan is taking more full control of the actions of Judas. And it's almost like Satan is simply working out through Judas his plans. And it says that, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him when Jesus told Judas, what you're going to do, do it quickly. And the disciples were just sort of oblivious. Some had an idea that he'll get something for our meal yet, or he's going to give something to the poor. But Judas, he went out. And those last four words, and it was night. It's the ending of the text for this morning, but it's not the ending of the story, thankfully. It was night. And that was not only because the sun had set. It was a time of darkness, of spiritual darkness, where I think the powers of darkness were given a liberty to do their very worst ever. Momentarily, it appears as though the gates of hell themselves are going to prevail. They're given this freedom. But that is not the end. And so just looking at this text, what are some lessons that we can learn? And I'd like to ask two questions. We can ask them in the past tense or present tense. One is, have I been served? And secondly, have I served others? Or ask it, am I being served and am I serving others? So has Christ washed your feet? Have you been served? Christ simply says in this passage that if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Now, Jesus is not here in physical form this morning, and he doesn't come and wash our feet in the setting that he did here in this scripture. But has Christ served you? And some of that comes in as we see our neediness of our Lord and our Savior. We allow him to serve us, to wash us, and to cleanse our hearts. Does it take humility to be served? Absolutely. But I think when we humble ourselves, we're open to be served, and it also opens the way to serve others. Have you opened your life for the cleansing work of Christ in your life? And when we open our lives to Christ to serve us, I think it also opens up our lives in order for other people to be able to serve us. I know we experienced that already in times of need, thinking especially 2.5 years ago when our house burnt down. People served us, and we were very grateful for the help that we received, it's also a humbling thing to receive help. But we needed it, and we thank you for the way that you served us. But ongoingly, how do I allow other people to serve me as they speak into my life? And I appreciated what we heard this morning in the share time of the way that people are allowing others to speak meaningfully into their lives in helping them to walk victoriously and be overcomers. We all need other people. Am I serving others? Jesus' instructions to his disciples were, if I serve you in this way, then you need to go and serve others as well. And you know, we can probably look over the past few weeks and say, well, I helped this person move, and so on. And so, yes, I'm serving, but I'm not looking so much as quantifying how much you're serving as, is that a part of your lifestyle? Is it a part of who you are? And I would say it should start at home with our families, for us as parents, that we serve our spouses and our children. If we don't start there, then I think some of the others we take away from true service if it doesn't start in our own homes. It should happen within the church family, where as we relate with each other, we help each other to a closer walk with the Lord. We help each other with physical needs. We help each other when there's people are depressed or going through difficult times. We've had a lot of funerals, and it's important that we're there helping to serve each other. And we serve outside of the church family. We serve in the community, wherever we go. It should be a lifestyle, doing out of who we are in Jesus Christ. I think when our security, our identity, our completeness is in Christ, it gives us a freedom to receive the service of others into our lives, as well as enabling us to serve others regardless of status. From our human perspective, we put some people sometimes sort of at different levels, someone who is a man of means, are we willing for them to serve me as well as a beggar? Or can I serve either one equally? And I say, when our relationship is secure in Christ, it allows us to serve either equally, as well as to receive help equally, regardless where it comes from. I think Jesus was the supreme example of servanthood for us. And I think faithfulness in the mundane and menial tasks of life can be the greatest acts of servanthood when motivated by love. Jesus, when he washed the disciples' feet, he loved them to the end. It was motivated by a love for his disciples. And when we serve each other, if it's motivated by love, regardless how dirty the work may be, it doesn't have to be dirty, by the way, but it can be dirty. If it's done out of faithfulness and motivated by love, those are the greatest acts of servanthood. Don't undervalue the miracle of humility. It's the condition that we all need to be served as well as to serve. Did Peter learn his lesson well? I think in 1 Peter we have the answer. Christ had told him, "What I'm doing now you don't really understand, but you'll know later." And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he gives instructions. While it's primarily to the elders, it's good for all of us. I'll read the several verses here, starting in verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be clothed, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So in that last verse, we see sort of we cast our cares on Jesus, and he cares for us. He serves us. And Peter, I'm not sure at what stage of life he wrote this, but he was in a position of church leadership, and he sees his role as being one of needing to be an example, not as lording it over. And he encourages all of us to be subject one to another, to serve each other with humility. I'd like to look at Philippians chapter 2 yet, and again, just look at the supreme example of our Lord. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So Christ, in the example he gave of servanthood, Here it says, that's the mind that we are to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not only did he become human, took on the form of a man, but he took the role of a servant of men. Christ, part of the Godhead, creator of the universe, becoming man. He showed us how to serve. And now the challenge for us is, do as Jesus did. I invite you to kneel in prayer. Well, Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed us how to serve. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come and humbling yourself. Not only becoming man, but taking the role of a servant. And you wash the disciples' feet. And Jesus, you continue to serve humanity. Thank you for that. Father, we're just recognizing our own neediness this morning, of ongoing need of allowing you to serve us, to cleanse us, to sanctify, and make us more like Jesus. And Lord, we also just recognize our need of taking on the role of a servant as we serve each other. Help us to be motivated by the love of God, as we heard in the devotional this morning. The way you loved us, that we would reciprocate, loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, we're needy. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.